Good. Amen. Open your Bibles. And by the way, let me say this to each and every one of you. You need to bring a Bible. You young people need to bring Bibles. And sometimes I'm told, well, I use my phone as a Bible. Let me say this. There's a time and place for everything. And I don't mind, you know, people following with Scripture, but you should not be playing on your phone during church. Should not be looking through, getting messages, sending messages, and those type of things. The church is not the place and time for that. There's things you need to be learning, things you need to pick up. When you're young, your mind soaks it up if you listen, and it'll do you good to be able to learn those things. Because later on in life, you don't know what you're going to be faced with and what they're going to try and make you believe. And therefore, you need to get settled on some things of faith. You need to know what the Scripture teaches. You need to have an idea, because there's all kinds of teachings out there, and they'll throw you off, and they'll lead you down the wrong path. And you say, well, I was raised all my life in church. Well, I had an aunt raised all her life in church. And they sung and everything. You sing on a mall singing convention. Remember that? Some of you will. And she went astray for many years. And nobody could talk to her for a while. She got following the Armstrong movement, and her husband got all involved in it. But we're glad to see that she come out of all that mess. But anyway, open your Bibles to Romans chapter 16. We'll be going to a few places tonight, so stay with me in your Bible. I want to share with you a simple truth, but yet a very complicated truth. We sing a song sometimes, What a Mighty God We Serve. And I want you to think about how mighty He is. And tonight I want to show you some things about God, some things that He let us know that other people didn't get to know. It was hid from other people. And God has chosen to let you and your generation see some things that other people has not seen. Romans chapter 16, Paul writing in verse number 25, says, Now to him that is a power to establish you, that means able to establish you, according to my gospel, the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery. Now I want you to note that little word mystery, which was kept since the world began. Now, this was a mystery, something that God knew, that He didn't let nobody else know since the world began. And now Paul is revealing some things that had been kept secret, a mystery withheld from Old Testament saints, and now he's letting us know. Notice verse 26. But now it's made manifest, means made known, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. In other words, what it's done is God, Paul is revealing the grace of God to the whole world. Now you need to know something about God. God loves everybody. His gift was for everybody. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He is the everlasting father. And he has given it to us, and he's revealed the mystery to us during the church age, that people may believe in Jesus Christ from all nations and walks of faith, or walks of life. Verse 27. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. So, His wisdom is far above our wisdom. Look, keep your finger right there a moment. Turn with me over to Ephesians chapter number 3. Ephesians chapter number 3. You say, what does he mean by mystery? He explains it here. In verse number 1, Paul says in chapter 3 of Ephesians, For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word. In other words, he was not now just preaching to the Jews, he was preaching to Gentiles. Verse number 3, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effectual working of his power. And unto me, who am least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Now notice verse 9. And to make all men see what is a fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world, notice that, hath been laid or hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. So therefore, what you need to understand, and turn back if you would to Romans chapter 16, you have to understand that God has a mystery. He had things that he has not revealed. He knows things that we will never know, and it's beyond our mind and ability. But he has revealed his mind and his purpose to us in these days. Look, if you would, in chapter 11 of Romans. In chapter 11 of Romans, notice, if you would, in verse number 33. Oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments, his ways past finding out. Then he quotes a couple of scriptures from Isaiah and Job. He says, for who hath known the mind of the Lord? Who hath been his counselor? Who hath first given to me him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, now of him means he is a source of everything. Of him refers to the fact that everything comes from God. So for of him and through him, he is not only the source of everything, he's the channel in which we receive it. In other words, he allows you to receive what you've received, and he is a source of where it came from. For of him is everything, for of him and through him and to him. Now, to him is a goal that God wants things that he's given us and the way in which he's brought it to us to take us to him and glorify him. Notice verse 36 again. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. So you need to understand that everything that God's done, that you have been made for his glory. If you want to fulfill your purpose in life, your purpose is to glorify God. That's the bottom line. Everything you say, well, I was made to be this. I was made to do this. I was made to do that. You were made to glorify God from the beginning. Now, and the Bible tells us in Isaiah 55 that his ways are much higher than our ways, and that it's beyond our finding out. Now, when we think of God in eternity, it begins to blow our mind. The names of God tells us much about God. Elohim, in the beginning, God, Elohim, he's a creator. Also, the Bible says, I am that I am. He is Jehovah. He is a self-existent one. He is also, for whosoever should call upon the name of Lord, he is Adonai, Lord. And so his name represents certain areas and certain things that he is. And so when you go back to the beginning, when God made a man, he already had plans. And tonight I want to show you four of those things that God had in mind before people even knew. before people understood. His foreknowledge, he planned it all. Listen, there are no surprises with God. Now this is hard to understand, and this gets into a doctrine that people's taken and run with. But God knew President Trump back then. God knew President Obama back then. God knew you back then. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning to the end. That's how amazing God is. God knows everyone. And if you remember in the teaching of the Book of Life, the Book of Life has everyone that will have life. Your name doesn't get added into it like some people sings and preaches. Your name gets blotted out of it. And therefore you lose privilege of being in the Book of Life. But look here, let me show you four things real quickly. Notice if you would in 1 Peter chapter 1, if you'll turn there with me. I want you to turn four places at least tonight with me. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse number 18. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. You see that? See the precious blood of Christ? As a lamb without blemish and without spot. In other words, it would be the precious blood of Jesus that would redeem you, and he would come and he would not have a sin. He would come. And God knew from the beginning, look if you would in verse number 20, who verily was foreordained, in other words, already figured in, already foreordained, already pre-planned before the foundation of the world, but was manifest or made known in these last times for you. Listen, before there was a sinner, God had a Savior. Isn't that good to know? Think about that. Before there was a sinner, God had a Savior. It was going to be a lamb. From the beginning in the book of Genesis, when Adam and Eve sinned, God showed the blood of the animal. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, he foretold of the seed of the woman that would come. When Abraham took his son upon the mount, and God provided a ram for him and provided a sacrifice for him, all that was pointing to the fact that was known from the very foundation of the world to God that we would be sinners and Jesus would be our Savior. Now, is that not an awesome God? He knew he was going to sin before there was ever a sinner. And he already had Jesus prepared to die for the world. I don't know about you, but that blows my mind. When I think about God, he's the Almighty God. He's always been. He knows all things. And therefore, the Bible says that he was made manifest in this time for us. Therefore, when John the Baptist was in the river baptizing, he looked up and he saw Jesus coming. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." He was manifested in this time for us, even though he was foreordained from the foundation of the world. What a mighty God we serve. That God knew that from the beginning, Linda, that he knew we needed to be saved. Isn't that amazing? And that he already had Jesus prepared before he ever made Adam. Before he ever made Eve. Before Lucifer ever fell down from heaven. God, in his foreknowledge, already knew all things. That is amazing to me. Look, if you would, in Revelation chapter 13. Talking about the Lamb. Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13, look if you would in verse number 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, that's the Antichrist, whose names were not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the what? Foundation of the world. Jesus was slain from the foundation of the world. When God was going to say, we're going to make a world in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth, Jesus was already slain before that ever happened. That is amazing. That is beyond our ability to think. And when we whimper and fret and fright over little things in life, when we have a God like that, that loved us so much that he prepared his son from the foundation of the world before we ever sinned and before we ever came to be. Look, second place I want you to go to. I know that was one I threw in there, but that's free. Look, if you would, in 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Second Timothy chapter 1, look if you would in verse 9. Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and what? Which was given us in Christ Jesus, what? Before the world began. Before there ever was guilt, there was God's grace. Undeserved. God knew that he would give us something that we did not deserve. He knew that we would sin. We would sin by birth, by nature, by choice. And yet God, in his wisdom and foreknowledge, he done knew that he was going to give grace. He's going to give us something that we did not deserve to have. And that is that he was going to give us salvation through Jesus Christ. He was going to give it to us because of what Christ was. Before we strayed, he done had the answer. Before we sinned, he done had the answer. Before we were separated from God, he done had the answer. Isn't it wonderful that God, in his wisdom, that he not only knew that he was going to send Jesus, he also knew that he was going to provide it by grace. All these people trying to work their way to heaven, they don't understand God. All these people who's thinking that they're losing their salvation does not understand God. That salvation was given. And don't you think that what God does from the beginning of the world, that he understands it much deeper than us? And the problem is this, when we get looking at puny little self, then we look and we say, well, oh, I must keep it. I must do it to be saved. I must keep this to be saved. I must walk this way to be saved. We don't understand the grace of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God, from the beginning, has given it to us. Not only that, look if you would in Titus chapter number 1. Got you right there close. Did you know before God ever threatened the punishment of death and hell, he had something else that he had prepared. Look if you would in verse number 1, chapter 1. Paul, a servant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. And remember, Paul is one that was revealed these mysteries that's beyond our understanding of grace. Look if you would in verse number 2. In hope of eternal life. You see that? In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie Promised when? Before there was ever going to be death to a sinner, there was a promise of eternal life. Whosoever, somebody said, well, preacher, I was taught that God, he's already predetermined who's going to be saved. Now, that's what they call Calvinistic doctrine. They call it hyper-Calvinistic. One time I went over here, I was at Saline. I was filling in places, and this church called me to preach there. And I didn't know anything about the church, and I told Brother Broughton where I was going to preach, and he chuckled. I said, why are you chuckling? He said, I'll tell you when you get back, which is always a bad sign when he did something like that. And so I went and preached. And Chris was, you was with me, wasn't you? Yeah, she was. He remembers it fondly. And it was a hyper-Calvinist church. They didn't even give invitations. They preached and never gave an invitation because they believed everybody that was going to be saved would be saved. Everybody that wasn't going to be saved wasn't going to be saved. And nothing they could do to influence anybody. And so I got through preaching, and by the way, they didn't believe in winning anybody to the Lord. I preached on soul winning. I had no idea where I was at, what I was in. And I preached on winning souls. Well, I noticed everybody's looking at each other while I was preaching, Tony. And I'd preached for what, 25, 30 minutes, something like that. And I asked for an invitation. Nobody moved. They looked at each other. I didn't know. So I went preaching. I thought they wanted more preaching. So I preached another 15 minutes. And I asked for an invitation. They hopped up and come up here and gave an invitation. And they wanted me out of there. But the point of the matter is this. Listen to me. What God predetermined and predestined from the beginning of the world was this. Whosoever would call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And whosoever believeth on Jesus Christ shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Before the foundation of the world, God had already promised, and he can't lie, eternal life to everybody that would believe on his Son. Eternal life is eternal life. You got that? Everlasting life is everlasting life. And these people that wants to proclaim that it's only temporary to some, then you have to show me one place in the Bible where God promised eternal life and then said, except, but, or if you do this. And God, who promised that cannot lie, already promised it from the beginning of the world. He promised, and notice in verse number 3, and hath in due times manifested his word, or made known his word, through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. And so therefore, when we preach, and there was occasion the other day, I didn't let somebody preach because their doctrine of what they believed was that you could lose your salvation. I didn't let them preach because that's not what I believe at all. I believe that when you get saved, that God, in his infinite wisdom from the foundation of the world, he already promised everybody that would believe on his Son, Jesus Christ, from their heart and believe upon him, would have eternal life and be saved eternally. And he can't lie. And anytime that I start taking salvation away from somebody, I have placed the keeping and the ability and the saving upon that individual and not upon God. It's God who saves. We are kept by the power of God, not our own power, his power. He brought us salvation, and therefore to everyone who confesses that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, and they believe that in their heart, and they confess Jesus Christ, then the Bible says that they can be saved. To everyone who will claim the Lord and not be ashamed to call upon him can be saved. People said, "Preacher, I don't understand how to be saved." You have faith in what I was talking to Jax this morning. And I said, "Jax, salvation is this simple. God provided it through Jesus Christ. You must believe that Jesus was the Son of God. And from the foundation of the world, he planned to come and die for our sins because he knew we'd all be sinners. And he died. And everyone who's willing to believe from their heart upon the work that Jesus did upon the cross of Calvary can be saved. Those that come unto him, he will in no wise cast out." Listen, there's not a person predetermined, predestined to go to hell. They'll go to hell by their own choices. But God provided salvation to every living soul. That's why he puts this word in: whosoever will, let him come. That means you and me. God's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Tim put that out on the board this morning. God's not willing that any should perish. Don't that make you feel good? That God loves everybody and wants everybody saved? I've seen people say, "Well, that old guy over there, he's so wicked, he can't be saved." Oh, you just don't understand the grace and mercy of God. Where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. That's the mystery of grace. And it blew the Jews out of the water because they could not understand the mystery of grace of God. They could not understand how God could show grace to the Gentiles and how God could give them something they didn't deserve. It just blew them out of the water, and it still blows me out of the water. But grace of God promised and already predetermined eternal life for all who would come. So listen to me. Everybody listening? You don't need to be troubled about your salvation when you come believing in your heart upon Jesus. You don't need to be troubled about your salvation because it is God that has given it to you and promised it, and he promised eternal life and he can't lie. And you say, "Well, preacher, I think I didn't do enough." He did it all. You believe upon what he did. You got that? Quit trying to work your way to heaven and believe upon the gift that God provided. From where? The foundation of the world, before the world was ever formed. One more time. Turn, if you would, to Ephesians chapter number 1. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 25 in verse number 41 that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. Hell didn't always exist, folks. It's when Lucifer fell in Isaiah chapter 14, Ezekiel chapter 28. When Lucifer fell, the cherubim, the great angel, the one that had a third of the angels underneath him, when he fell, and he brought out, according to Revelation chapter 12, verse 4 through 6, that he brought out a third of the stars with him, a third of the angels with him. The demons that we now call demons was once angels. The devil that we now call the devil was once an angel. They fell. They were the guilty party of leading Adam and Eve to sin. But not beyond God's knowledge. He knew it was going to happen. That's why he made all these preparations. And so then the Bible says chapter 25, verse 41, that hell was prepared. It didn't always exist. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. But look, if you would, in chapter 1 of Ephesians. Verse number 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in him. And folks, before there ever was a hell, there was a heaven. And God had a heaven prepared for the redeemed. Those that would be purchased back by the blood of Jesus. We have been purchased by his blood from the foundation of the world. Nothing but the blood will do in salvation. That's why when Cain brought the best of his works, of his hands, God rejected it. That's why only the blood would work. Nothing else. When God sent his death angel through the land of Egypt, only the blood was saving people. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Folks, the blood of Jesus Christ has been our salvation. And therefore, if you want to go to heaven, you will go because you are redeemed by the blood. You will go not because of your righteousness, which is filthy rags, according to Isaiah, but you will go because his righteousness, Jesus, has been imputed to you, and you are accepted in the sight of the Father because of the beloved. And last but not least, where you were separated by your sins, you have now been reconciled by the mediator, by the one person that could bring you together. It's not some Catholic priest. It's not some pope. It's not some nun. It's not even some preacher. It is one person, the man and the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our mediator. He is reconciled, a holy, just God that cannot look upon sin and a sinner that cannot do anything pleasing to God. He has reconciled the two of us together and brought us into the adoption of the family of God. And all that was foreordained from the foundation of the world. What a mighty God we have. And listen, don't belittle salvation to bring it down on your level. Because the Bible says, let me show you one more verse, I'll close, and we'll have an invitation. Look, if you would, in 1 Corinthians. This is one you know, but I want to read it because it refers to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, real quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. What's heaven going to be like? What is heaven going to be like? How many of you can stand and tell me what heaven's going to be like? We can tell about the gates of pearl, the streets of gold, the walls of jasper. There's some things that we know that the Bible's revealed to us, but notice verse number 9. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Notice if you would on down in verse number 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. In other words, when we get saved, God's Spirit begins to reveal certain things to us. We're able to see some things taught in Scripture, and we're able to grow. That's why, Brother Junior, I don't lose one night's sleep over salvation. Because I know in whom I have believed. And I know if this poor boy didn't have grace, I'd be damned and doomed. But thank God for his grace. And I am kept because he provided the salvation from the beginning that not only saved me, but gave me eternal life. And he can't lie. Praise his holy name. Amen. Let's stand tonight. You got a song, Jesse? Thanks.